feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you.
Oh, all right. Good morning. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor, as well as the owner of the Neal Clinic. Thank you again for having me in the studio this morning, Tammy.
Thank you so much for coming in. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. I love coming in to be part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. You guys have some really interesting guests on this show, and I'm always honored to be a part of these talks.
Oh, yeah. We always have a good time, and it's Friday.
That's the best part of it. Friday. We made it. It's almost the weekend.
All right. Absolutely.
So I've got a few things that I want to talk about this morning. You know, I had a conversation with a patient earlier this week about arthritis. He said, you know, I just went to my primary care doctor last week after I'd had some blood work done, just normal routine stuff. And he said, I've got rheumatoid arthritis, but they had already told me I had arthritis. You know, is there a difference between this normal arthritis, this new rheumatoid arthritis? You know, and that's a really good question. The answer is to his question is yes, right? Yes, there's a difference. And of course, there's always a little more to that. And I'll go into that in just a few minutes. I also wanted to make sure that I mentioned to everybody tuned in and listening this morning, if you've got a question for me, something that you've always wondered about chiropractic care, send Tammy and I a message with your questions. What's the phone number they send
You can call or text 437-1620. That's 437-1620. We'd love to hear from you this morning.
And if you're driving and you can't get those questions in today or just think of one later, head over to the Neal Clinic Facebook page. We're on Facebook as Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Send me a question with in a message or post a question on there. I typically get to those pretty quickly, honestly. I'll answer most of those within about 24 hours, and that's just another thing I'd really enjoy doing, just to engage with people on social media. That's one of the good things that we can use that for. All right. I know I said I was going to talk about some arthritis, and I will. But first, I really want to go over one thing before we get to that. It's something called disc herniations. You ever heard of those, Tammy?
Absolutely. I have, and they hurt really bad. I have my sister actually has that.
They can. Yeah, absolutely. So the reason I want to talk about this is because for whatever reason, I've had several new patients come to the clinic recently that were all suffering from these kind of disc herniations or disc bulges. And honestly, it's really strange if that tends to happen. If I see one case of knee pain, I'll get five that same week. If one person comes in with migraines that week, we'll get a couple people that also all have migraines at the clinic. It's really strange. But the past few days, I've been treating patients with this condition that's called a disc herniation. So first of all, what is this? This is, you've got these flat discs. They're pieces of cartilage that are between each vertebra in your spine. And inside of that cartilage is this toothpaste-like material. It's called the nucleus pulposus. And these things, they act as a shock absorber, or kind of like a cushion between your bones, right? You don't want your bones jamming together, pushing on one another. You always want some sort of smooth cartilage in between there. And that's what these, they call them intervertebral discs. That's what they do. But these cushions, if you press too hard on them, you know, you put a lot of pressure on them, they'll protrude outside of where they normally would. And we'll call those disc bulges when they're just kind of pressed, almost like pushing on a donut, right, between your hands. It would kind of bulge out of the sides. But if you keep pressing on them, eventually that inner layer of the disc, again, it's that toothpaste-like material, that will kind of squeeze out of that cartilage that it's contained in. And those are what we call those true disc herniations, where that toothpaste material is herniated out of there. But really with either of these conditions, the bulges or those herniations, you can have them and have absolutely no symptoms, which is great, right? Why are we talking about this? They don't hurt. Well, that's only partially true, because other times, if that disc begins to press on those nerve roots that exit out of your spine on either side between those vertebrae, if that disc is pressing on those things, when that happens, you will most likely experience symptoms. And what does that feel like? That can range from, you know, discomfort in your neck or your back. you know, it depends really where you get that problem, but that can feel like, you know, it can be something that's all the way up to like loss of function of your limbs, like your arm or your leg. Like it'll be so weak that you just can't lift it or you can't move it very well. But that's only in those really severe cases, really, really bad disc herniations or bulges like that. But the typical symptoms that we see with these cases are where that disc is causing a nerve compression, either in your lower back or again, your neck, and it's going to cause weakness or numbness up and down your leg or down your arm. You know, it can feel like an achy muscle, but you haven't really felt, you know, you haven't done anything to pull a muscle in your leg, but you're feeling like it's pulled. Those are what the symptoms feel like. If it's up in your neck, again, you'll get those symptoms in your shoulders, arms, all the way into your hands sometimes. A lot of people have probably heard of sciatica. That is often caused by one of those disc herniations pressing on your sciatic nerve. Now, that's not the only cause of sciatica, but it's one of them. So the question I get with these a lot is, you know, can a chiropractor even treat these disc herniations? Is your sister hopefully seeing somebody to help with her her
she
issues?
She does. Yes, good. She actually had a injury.
Okay.
And now she's having these issues, but definitely, yeah, she sees someone for that.
Good. And that's excellent because the answer to that is yes, absolutely yes. Sometimes with those extreme cases where your arm or your leg isn't moving because the nerve is being so compressed that you've lost complete control of it or those muscles in that case, you know, I'll refer those cases to a spinal surgeon. You know, those cases are probably outside of the chiropractic realm. They've gone on a little too far. But there's actually an examination protocol that allows me to determine if your case is a chiropractic case or not. I'll take you through a series of movements. We'll take a history. I'm going to check some neurologic responses in your arms and legs to make sure you're not one of those cases that I'll have to refer out. And if it turns out you're not showing any of those red flags during the examination and you are a good candidate for chiropractic treatments, they actually help these patients out a lot. You know, the chiropractic adjustments, those spinal manipulations, they have a few benefits for these patients. Number one, it's increased mobility. They help with pain relief, and there's actually been studies that have shown that they actually help decrease the size of the disc herniation, which is the whole goal of what you would want to do to treat this, right? We've got a disc that's pressing on something. Again, it's a physical cause and effect. The medications really can't do that. We have to have something that's physically going to change that. So with the mobility, right, how does that work? We've got to get your joints moving again. In the area where these injuries occur, your back's going to get really stiff. It's going to feel tight. It's going to be harder to move. And that's because of something called a guarding response. You know, your brain gets this signal that you've got an injury, right? You've got nerves all over your body, and it's getting the signal that, hey, we've got this disc herniation. We've got something going wrong. And when it gets that signal, the brain's going to send a signal back down to that area, to all those muscles that surround it, and it's going to say, hey, we're going to tighten all these up. We're going to guard this area because it thinks that you're going to make it worse. But the reality is you really need to move. Those joints are not designed to stay in the same spot for, you know, long periods of time. And that's, you know, it's kind of counterintuitive. You know, if my brain's telling me to not move, maybe I shouldn't. Well, the part of your brain that controls these reflexes doesn't know it's 2023 and, you know, you can go get medical care for these conditions. It still thinks you're a caveman and you've got to go hunt and gather food and everything. And, you know, you might get eaten by a lion, but thankfully for most of us, that's not the case. But research has shown that proper movements will actually speed up your recovery and it'll make sure that the joints in that area are moving properly. That's what spinal manipulation does. That's why chiropractors do those adjustments, is to make sure that your joints are moving properly. Another benefit is, you know, that pain relief that comes from these things. When we adjust your joints, we're able to alleviate some of the pressure on that nerve by manipulating the joints in the spine so it won't be so irritated. When we stop that irritation on the nerve, you're going to have less pain, which, trust me, once we get you to this phase of healing, you know, where you're able to rest a little bit and it's not waking you up every few hours as you're trying to sleep, you're going to heal so much faster once you get to that level. then you can start moving a little bit more, right? If you're out of a little bit of that pain, now you can move again. You can actually do the exercises and the stretches that I need you to do to help you recover faster. And like I said, they've done studies where they take MRIs of people with these disc herniations. That's really the only way to tell with 100% certainty that you have one or not. So they'll take an MRI of somebody that has these. They'll undergo chiropractic care. And then they realize that, hey, this is helping reduce how big that disc herniation is, which is going to take pressure off those nerves and, again, allow you to heal much, much faster. And that's just if all you get done is have those adjustments, those spinal manipulations. But what most chiropractors do, you know, myself included, is we'll recommend some adjunctive therapies in addition to those adjustments to help reduce the inflammation that's associated with these injuries. You know, at the Neil Clinic, one thing I utilize is a therapy that's really on the forefront of sports medicine these days, and that's our Class 4 laser. And these things are an incredible tool that they really have capitalized on technological advances, right? Just like everything else. We're using technology to get the best treatments to our patients. And these things use this powerful light at really, really precise wavelengths to stimulate local tissue healing and repair. And it can be funny to me sometimes. I don't know, it's probably not funny to everybody else, but I forget that a lot of people haven't heard of laser therapy. And when I start talking with them about it, they get this, I can just see, they get this nervous look on their face. They think this thing's really gonna hurt. You know, I was training a new chiropractic assistant we brought on this past week on how to use it, what it was gonna do. And I told her we were going to try it on her so she could experience what it felt like. And right before we started, she turned around and goes, hey, is this going to hurt? No, these things, they don't hurt at all. It's got a little metal tip on there that, you know, lets me use it almost as a massage tool. And it basically feels like a warm massage. Tammy, you were actually in the clinic this week.
I was.
Used that laser on. Did this thing hurt?
Not at all. It actually felt really good.
Yeah, that's,
and it's not really like a tip. It's like a, looks like a ball, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
like
not
a
pointy. Yeah,
no,
it's
not
pretty
at all.
Dull. And
it
we
felt
could actually
great.
Use the laser without putting any pressure. Some people are really, really sensitive in these areas of the injury, and we don't even press on them at all. We just hold the laser right above their skin, and it still works just as well. But yeah, so again, this stuff does not hurt. We had a few people text in some questions. Can you help with carpal tunnel in your elbows and wrists? Okay. Yes, chiropractors do treat this stuff, as do I. True carpal tunnel is actually just found down in your wrist. It's actually the median nerve that's compressing in what your carpal bones, the bones in your wrist, are being pushed down and compressing on that median nerve that supplies the sensation and strength to your middle, index, and thumb. Those fingers, right? Those three fingers right there. So if it's carpal tunnel, typically we don't see pain coming up into your elbow. There are other compression points for other nerves that can be affected in your elbow. And one of the things that they found, you know, maybe 20 years ago, they used to do a lot of just carpal tunnel surgeries. They'd have these doctors line up a room full of people because the surgery doesn't take very long. They're just kind of relieving some pressure. They're cutting a ligament in your wrist to alleviate some of that pressure in that tunnel that that nerve goes through. But they were finding that they did all these carpal tunnel surgeries, but people were coming back a few months later with the same symptoms without the pressure on there. So what was going on? Well, just like this patient's question, it turned out that the whole problem wasn't always just in their wrist, that they were having something called a double crush syndrome, where these nerves that run down your arm, they actually start up in your neck. So you can pinch that nerve in your neck, your shoulder, your elbow, or your wrist. And typically what was happening was these people would have some pain in their wrist and their fingers, and they'd treat that area, but they wouldn't look at the elbow or their neck. And turns out they had some issues at their neck and probably didn't need that carpal tunnel surgery. If they would have fixed the problem in their neck, those symptoms in their wrist may go away. So the first thing we would do with this patient is, you know, let's make sure we're dealing with a true carpal tunnel syndrome first. The next thing we need to know is, you know, how long have you been dealing with this? Are you somebody that has been, you know, working on a keyboard or, you know, using your hands in construction for the last 20 years? Like, is this a chronic thing or is this just starting? There's some stretches, there's some exercises that can really help alleviate some of this and reducing, you know, how irritated all those areas are, as well as some like lifestyle modifications, right? When are you getting this? How is your desk set up? Can we get some of those things where, you know, you don't have your wrist cocked at this weird angle for significant periods of your day? And same thing with the elbow. I'd be willing to bet there's a pretty good chance that when we start going through the examination process, this patient's going to have some issues in their neck. Maybe they're going to have some headaches. Again, it's pretty rare for it just to be the elbow and the wrist and not have any of those things come into their neck. All right. One more question that we had text in. How is lower back pain diagnosed and treated? Okay. Pretty general, but yeah, that's a great question. What is the diagnosis process? Low back pain can come from a lot of different things, right? Your kidneys can cause it. You can have issues with your stomach and your intestines that can cause low back pain. So a lot of what we do initially is the history taking process. You know, how did this start? What are your symptoms? When are you feeling it? That gives me a good indication. You know, is it only, I only get it after dinner? Like, okay, well, what are you eating? Is this something that is a dietary thing that you're having this inflammatory thing in your bowels? Or is this, well, I feel it when I bend or when I twist or when I'm sleeping? There's a lot of questions, but again, there's this protocol that we go through. I have to have you go through some ranges of motion. I'm going to make you bend and twist. The easiest way for me to diagnose what's going on is to actually kind of reproduce your symptoms, because if I can figure out how we can make it happen, that gives me a better idea of what's happening in your body. There's neurologic tests we're going to do. I'm going to make sure that you're not having any neurologic deficits that would, you would be a patient that we wouldn't want to adjust your spine, because we could make things a little worse. Is this an issue where your spinal cord's being impinged upon and causing symptoms to shoot down both your legs? Are you one of those people with the disc herniations that I was talking about earlier? That, you know, maybe you get pain coughing and sneezing that is pretty bad, pretty excruciating. So I'd say the first part of how we diagnose pain is that history taking and that examination process. I block out almost a full hour to spend with my new patients for this process, right, Tammy? Like, we spent
absolutely. He went through everything.
A long time in the exam room about what exactly your symptoms are. We try and save at least one or two of those open all day, so I'm not just back there for 5 minutes and have to get pulled back to go see another patient. It's a time-consuming process, but it's important, because if we find out what's causing these symptoms, then we know how to fix it. Then I'm able to say, hey, this is something chiropractic care can help with, or maybe you need to go see an orthopedic doctor or a gastroenterologist. You know, maybe we do need to take some x-rays, right? Like, are you having low back pain because you fell off your roof? Or are you having low back pain because you've been sitting at a desk for the last 30 years? Those are all good indicators of what I'm going to have to do and how we're going to do it. Now, how it's treated really depends on what the issue is, right? Again, same thing. Chiropractic cases are typically helped with improving that joint mobility, right? We're going to use those spinal manipulations, those joint manipulations, whether it's me using my hands in the traditional chiropractic way, right, where I'm popping those joints, or I have an activator, a little tool that I'll use. It's a spring-loaded handheld instrument where I don't have to, you know, bend and twist and pop your back. Some people can't get in those positions. Some people can't have that done. Maybe you've had a spinal surgery and you're not a candidate for that traditional chiropractic care. That's one of the other treatment options that we offer at the Neil Clinic. You know, I had a patient come in a few weeks ago, and she'd been dealing with this neck pain for months now, and it was starting to travel down her arm. You know, she was pinching on one of those nerves. Hers actually wasn't a disc herniation, but still having similar symptoms from some arthritis that she had had in her neck. But she was terrified to go to the chiropractor until she started doing research and she found out about the activator. And the more she looked into it, she said, okay, you know, I'll give this thing a shot. Let me look and see what it looks like. She had a lot of questions about it. She'd done a ton of research before she got to me. But she said, look, I think chiropractic care can help, but I'm just really nervous about having my neck popped. I said, well, you know, we don't have to do it that way now. So there's a couple different treatment options as far as how we need to get those joints moving. The other part of the coin with this is we need to reduce inflammation. if you're having some sort of injury in your back or any body tissue, really, whether it's your ankle that you sprained or your shoulder that's been dislocated, you're going to have some inflammation associated with these things. So we need to remove that. Your body over-responds with that stuff, so we need to help reduce that inflammatory response. At the Neal Clinic, Tammy will tell you, I'm a big fan of ice packs. She got two brand new ice packs. She was using them this morning, she said.
Mm-hmm, I was drinking my coffee.
Yep. Ice really helps decrease that inflammatory response. It's going to push the blood flow deep around those joints where it needs to go. That's one thing we're a big fan of. We also use a few other therapies, something similar to a TENS unit. We actually use an interferential therapy. It's an electric current that we're going to kind of pass through your body to help decrease inflammation. There's no real secret. There's no magic to this stuff. If I decrease the inflammatory response locally and I get your joints moving again, the pain goes away, the joints are moving the way they should, you'll start to feel better. Then we'll go through some stretches, some exercises, some lifestyle modifications to make sure that this stuff doesn't just keep coming back over and over again. That's kind of the way the chiropractic model works. So I don't know if this person's ever been to a chiropractor before, but that's a good question. You know, how are they going to be able to help me? How do they know what it is? If it's something where we're treating and, you know, I think you're a chiropractic case, but we're not getting the results we wanted, we'll send out for some films. You know, maybe you do have a congenital anomaly in your spine where your bones are just formed a little different, right? Not all of us are the same. Not everybody looks the same on the outside. Same thing on the inside. It's pretty much the same, but there's slight little differences here and there, and those can happen every now and then. And we'll take some x-rays, or maybe we'll take an MRI and look at what exactly is going on in your back that's causing this to take a little longer. There's all sorts of cases like that. So I promised I'd talk a little bit about arthritis before I got out of here today. So I only have a few minutes, so I'll touch on this briefly. But, you know, what most people think of when they say, hey, I've got arthritis, is something called osteoarthritis, which is that wear and tear type of degenerative change that occurs to our joints. It's typically associated with aging, but it can also occur due to injury, you know, whether it's a direct injury or, like I was talking about, I think last week, that repetitive injury over time, that can happen. The other type, that rheumatoid arthritis, is actually an autoimmune condition where your body kind of attacks its own tissues. This is typically shows up in smaller joints first, like your wrists or your fingers, but it can affect your spine as well. You know, and while they are similar because they both start attacking the joints, there are some differences with those. You know, you're probably going to be seeing a rheumatologist if you have that RA condition versus the osteoarthritis. You know, we need to get you moving. We need to get you exercising and decreasing those things that are going to irritate those joints to make sure that it's not getting worse and worse. Well, Tammy's giving me that sign that I've run out of time again. Didn't get to all the rheumatoid arthritis talk, but I'll save that for next week. Again, my name's Dr. Ben McMillan. My practice is the Neal Clinic. We're located over on Creighton Road. If you're ready to stop living in pain and find the source of your problem, give me a call at 850-479-2700. And I got one last thing before I head out today. I know my dad's at home listening like he does every morning, but this weekend is his birthday. So I just wanted to say happy birthday to my dad. And I hope everybody else has a great weekend as well. But happy birthday, Dad.
Absolutely. Happy birthday. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Tammy.
That's great. Just a reminder, Bands on the Beach is back on Tuesday, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulfside Pavilion at 7 p.m. Coming up, we have Commander Air. It's getting really hot. We got to figure out how to keep those ACs running without costing you $1 million. We know how that is. Also, if you own a business, you know of a professional that would like to be on Pep Talk with me, give us a call. 262-6000. We'd be happy to help you out. We have a Fox News update followed by a local news update in our newsroom.